Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
There is a lot of evidence out there that oral health affects stroke risk, but we haven't really thought about it as a modifiable risk factor because there isn't that much data around what happens when you manage the oral health.
Today, Dr. Sanosian and Saver joined the podcast to discuss highlights from ISC 2026, the CREST-2 cognitive substudy, and oral health and stroke risk in this PureDirect Special Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative supporters.
Welcome back to the next part of our discussion on ISC 2026. I'm Narcisse Sanosian, professor of neurology at the Keck School of Medicine of the University of Southern California.
And I'm Jeffrey Saver, distinguished professor of neurology at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA.
So, Jeff, it always comes back to the pillars of stroke prevention, the antithrombotics, blood pressure, cholesterol, the diabetes, and the lifestyle. But there are some other areas that we could potentially look at for stroke prevention.
You are right, Narcisse. And one intriguing study at the meeting was about oral health and stroke risk. And I know that was an interest of yours. Can you tell us about the study?
Well, absolutely. There is a lot of evidence out there that oral health affects stroke risk. But we haven't really thought about it as a modifiable risk factor because there isn't that much data around what happens when you manage the oral health. There was a great abstract that showed that if you go to the dentist regularly and you have regular oral care, that regular oral care in and of itself is an independent risk, an independent predictor of reduced stroke risk. And the effect was pretty sizable too. The idea that if you take care of your teeth, you go to the dentist regularly, regular dental checkups, that translates to less stroke. And I think that was a really interesting takeaway and something that we could, as clinicians, incorporate into our assessment of stroke patients. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah. One is chronic inflammation from gum disease. And we know that inflammation increases the buildup of atherosclerosis and acts as a trigger for thrombosis. And you're right, it was a substantial reduction, about 40-45% reduction. The one concern is, as an observational study, although they tried to control for all the other causes of stroke, it is possible that the people who do good dental care differ in unmeasured ways from the people who don't do dental care. And the dental care in this average American population was surprisingly poor to me. Only 60% of patients brush their teeth daily. So I do think neurologists' reinforcement can make a big difference there.
That's true. And if you're probably someone who brushes your teeth regularly and goes to the dentist on a regular basis, you probably are more open to going to the physician regularly and taking your medications as prescribed. So there may be something about that. However, it does seem like something that's actionable, something we can ask patients about, and something we can enforce and encourage. And everything makes a difference when it comes to stroke prevention.
And I do know that Suvik Sen, the senior author of this study, is proposing to NIH a randomized trial of patients with aggressive dental hygiene versus standard to prevent stroke. So hopefully in 3 to 5 years, we'll have definitive proof that dentition affects the vascular system.
Hey, that would be a very interesting finding and very meaningful. And among all the other studies that were out there, one that was really interesting, Jeff, was the idea of the CREST-2 study, the study of carotid revascularization in stroke prevention, and the way they looked at cognition. I thought that was one of the more interesting high-impact abstracts. What did you think about that study?
I agree. This is the answer to a question that's 75 years old, which is, in patients with asymptomatic carotid stenosis, 70% or greater, will reopening the artery by endarterectomy or angioplasty and stenting improve cognition? We know that it prevents stroke even in the era of modern, better medical therapy, the parent CREST-2 trial was positive in showing a mild reduction in stroke events in the over 7,000 patients who were randomized between medical therapy alone or carotid revascularization. But there's been the claims by vascular surgeons and skepticism but hope by neurologists that by it improving blood flow to the brain with the revascularization, you could improve cognition. And the answer was a clean no. Very well done study, average of 2.7 years of follow-up, repeated cognitive testing in both groups, and both groups showed at baseline that they had some worse cognitive deficits than matched normal controls, but didn't matter to which treatment you were randomized, your cognition evolved in the same way.
So it's interesting that there was a signal there where people who had high-grade stenosis and presumably less flow had some cognitive changes. It's not that the carotid stenosis doesn't affect cognition. It's more that the treatment of the carotid stenosis didn't prevent the progression of the cognitive loss. Was that your interpretation?
Yeah, I don't think it's the blood flow, because patients who are asymptomatic are getting adequate blood flow all the time. That's why they're asymptomatic. It's the disease drivers that led to the carotid stenosis also likely affect the brain somewhat.
Do you think the study could have potentially showed a benefit if it had been done over a longer period of time? Is 2.7 years enough? Or do you think it's pretty clear that carotid revascularization has very little role when it comes to cognition?
Well, the longest follow-up was to 5 years and beyond. So I think the likelihood of benefit is quite low. And this illustrates the saying of Thomas Huxley, the great tragedy of science, the slaying of a beautiful hypothesis by an ugly fact. And the fact is, we can't improve cognition by reopening arteries, but we can prevent stroke. And that alone is important.
That's a worthy goal as well. And we can improve cognition by addressing all of the different risk factors and preventing stroke. That, I think, has been pretty well documented, that people do better cognitively when they can avoid stroke. And we know the best way of doing that is to really manage those risk factors and, when appropriate, use carotid revascularization as a tool or technique to prevent stroke.
Yeah, the patients who had a stroke in the study did have worsening of their cognition. So in that way, we can still help preserve brain health.
Very, very true. Please join us for the next part of our discussion on ISC 2026.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Dr. Sanosian and Saver. Join me next time for the episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.